Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you missed Joe Gibbs earlier today, we're going to re-rack it for you at 6. You're also going to hear from quarterback Jaden Daniels in that our final segment of the night. Met with the media today ahead of the NFC Championship game. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. You can hear the NFC title game on Sunday right here on the Fan. Every play of the game, plus pregame and postgame. Coverage starts 9 a.m. Sunday, goes all day long on your flagship home for the Caps and the Nats.
Want to remind you guys that as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on or off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condrey and Morod, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Wanted to talk about a piece written about Jaden Daniels and where he ranks right now on a quarterback list in terms of who you'd buy stock in moving forward. So let's go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And we welcome onto the show from Yahoo, Frank Schwab. Always does such a great job writing and talking about the NFL. And the piece, Frank, that caught our attention, as you can imagine, we like hearing nice things about our Jaden Daniels. You say he might already be the greatest rookie quarterback ever and the best quarterback in the NFC too. And it doesn't sound like there's a long list of guys that you would trade him for at this point, huh?
Not in the NFC, for sure. I mean, there's a few guys in the AFC who are, you know, going to the Hall of Fame someday. But, I mean, maybe Jaden Daniels is too, for all we know. I sat here a year ago, and I feel kind of dumb about it. But, you know, I mean, you got time to fill in the offseason, and you say, nobody's going to replicate this C.J. Stroud rookie season for a long, long time. Don't get used to this. This was a historical outlier, a guy who led the NFL in touchdown-interception ratio and yards per game. This was an outlier as a rookie, and this is going to stand forever. And then a year later, it's like, oh, yeah, Jaden Daniels is better. It's unbelievable what he's done. And, you know, there's a million ways to look at it. But I think the one that really strikes me is, I mean, no offense to the Washington Commanders, but I don't think there's a very good roster. It's better than it was last year, but it's not like Ben Roethlisberger in 2004 when he kind of joined a really good Pittsburgh Steelers team and rolled the wave to the 13-1 record or whatever he put up after he became the starter. Or even Dan Marino in 1984 or 83, who joined a pretty good Dolphins team at that point. This is a flawed team that went 4-13 last year. They made changes, for sure, but I look at this team and say, they're probably 2 years away from where they should be, and they're in the final four of the NFL. It's incredible. I've never seen a rookie quarterback carry a franchise on his shoulders like this. This is just, it's unbelievable how good he has been right away.
Yeah, and Frank, you know, I can't do it anymore. And I guess what I mean is, when I have an 11-year-old, for example, when I'm evaluating my 11-year-old, I'm obviously so biased, I need like a professional coach to do it. Does that make any sense? Like, I can't speak to it anymore rationally or reasonably. That's how I feel about Daniels. Like, it's so hype. It's like I'm so over the top and so gushing. So I guess what I'm asking you here is big picture. I got to take myself out of it. I'm an ineligible judge. What are we really talking about here in terms of how good he is right now and how good he projects to be? You can sort of flippantly say, yeah, maybe one day a Hall of Famer, but there are a lot of Hall of Famers. Like, where are we going with this journey?
I mean, if you were to ask me, set odds on Jaden Daniels over 0.5 MVPs in his career, I'd minus 500. I just think it's almost inevitable that he's going to win an MVP someday. But I think the obvious conversation is where he's going and the upside in the future, because it's limitless. Everybody loves him for the future. I'm talking about right now, right at this moment. If I had to go win a game tomorrow, I think he's my fifth quarterback on the board, which is just unbelievable. Like, I've thought this through. I've had conversations with people. I've debated people. And I come to, there's the four guys in the AFC that we all know about, Allen and Mahomes and Jackson and Burrow, right? Those are the four. And Jaden Daniels isn't there yet. Who's number five? Would you take Justin Herbert or Jaden Daniels? I would take Jaden Daniels. I just think he does more. And not that, if you want to take Herbert, I'm totally fine with that too. After him, who are you taking? Like, this is, I mean, you would. I would take him over everybody in the NFC, every single player. Hurts and Prescott and Stafford, good players, very good players. But I just think Jaden Daniels does so much, and he's so polished as a passer and so good as a rusher that I'm sitting here saying, I think Jaden Daniels is the fifth best quarterback in football right now as a rookie. And I've covered this game a long time. I've watched this game a long time. And I never thought I'd be saying that about a rookie quarterback. Rookies are supposed to struggle. Rookies are supposed to have it hard. And he came in and made the NFL look easy. And it's just unbelievable to me that I can sit here and realistically, and maybe I'm over the top too, because it's just been a great story, and he seems like a really, really cool guy to root for and all that stuff. And it's just cool to see Washington's franchise finally dig out of that. And I just like new blood, new stars, and maybe I'm a little biased in that way. But I really believe it. I believe that Jaden Daniels right now is, at worst, to me, the sixth best quarterback in the NFL.
Frank Schwab, senior writer at Yahoo, joining us on Grant and Danny. How much credit does Cliff Kingsbury deserve for what Daniels has accomplished this year? And if he were to leave, how much would it set him back? It sounds like you don't think much.
It's tough because I think Cliff has done a great job. I think that the way they progressed Jaden through the year, we remember that first game. I think we might even, if I'm not mistaken, we might have even talked about it right afterwards, where it was, we're not letting Jaden do anything. We're treating him like a normal rookie. We're going to keep everything behind the line of scrimmage or 2 yards downfield. And he did fine, but you know, you could tell that the training wheels were on at that point. And slowly and surely, Cliff Kingsbury opened things up for him and kept feeding him stuff until he's really ready to just break out and do everything and basically play like a veteran. So I think Cliff, and who's always, you know, had a good reputation as offensive mind, and you know, people catch up to him during the season, and I'm sure you guys worried late in the season that people were catching up to Cliff Kingsbury again. I think he's kind of had a breakthrough in these playoffs, in getting rid of that reputation that, you know, everything becomes stale after early season, and he's really done a good job. And yes, if he leaves, it doesn't seem like he will at this point. I mean, I don't know he's kind of cooled in the last week or so as teams have moved on to other options. But if he did leave, yes, it sets any young quarterback back when you're learning a new scheme and a new coordinator and all this kind of stuff. But I think Jaden would be fine. I think that when I look at this, I kind of view it as Jaden Daniels elevating Cliff Kingsbury rather than the other way around. Although I think both have had, I mean, Cliff deserves a lot of credit for how he's coached this rookie quarterback and got the most out of him.
So, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports with us here on G&D. So there have been more prolific rookie passing years in history, but I think your point is 100% right, Frank. When you start to add in everything he does and what he means for the offense, there's no way you can shut off every valve. Right? I mean, and how much does right. that sort of play into how impactful he is and why you think it's the best rookie season ever?
Yeah, and I think, and again, I'm not trying to just disparage the Washington Commanders, but I think with other prolific passing rookie seasons, guys have had better talent around them. I mean, Cam Newton has Steve Smith, right? Like, Terry McLaurin's awesome. He's great. But when I look and I see Zacchaeus and De'Ami Brown and Zach Ertz in his mid-30s, I'm like, they have so further they can go if they can land a T. Higgins or something this offseason, that I just, that's part of it to me, that just the supporting cast around him hasn't allowed him to throw for 4,000 yards, really. He's just been so efficient, the completion percentage set a record this year, all that kind of stuff. And then it's so hard for a dual threat guy to come in and kind of do both things at his peak at the same time. Usually it's you're a runner and you learn to be a passer and you adjust to that point in your career. It's like Jaden Daniels is polished at both as a rookie. And we've just never seen that before. Even Lamar, who I love Lamar, and Lamar's going into Hall of Fame on first ballot and all that kind of stuff. Lamar was not a polished passer when he came into the NFL. He got the job done, but he was a runner who threw the ball fairly well. Jaden Daniels is both just exceptionally well. I think he knows where to go with the ball. And I think this virtual reality stuff has helped him. I think playing a ton in college has helped him. I think NIL is changing the game for quarterbacks as far as guys like Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, who just played a ton of college football and come in really ready to succeed right away where other rookies hadn't, where they might have left a year earlier than they should have and weren't developed, and that leads to a rocky start. So I think just the polish Daniels has had on both things, like you said, if you can stop him as a passer, but can you stop him as a runner? And that's why these dual threat guys are so good, from Josh Allen to Lamar or anybody like that. It's just rare to see somebody be at the peak as a runner and a passer at the same time. And I think Jaden's there already, as crazy as that sounds.
Frank, do you have an MVP vote?
I don't. I don't anymore, no.
Okay, I ask that only to now ask, I guess, two-parter. Number one, who would you have voted for? And if what we're saying in this conversation about Daniels is the case, why isn't he more in the conversation?
Yeah, and I've wondered that too. And I said on our podcast on Yahoo Sports Insight Coverage that I have no problem actually with a Jaden Daniels MVP vote. Like, if you can make the argument that he took a franchise that was 4-13, has only one other Pro Bowl player. Again, Terry's awesome, don't get me wrong, but only one other Pro Bowl player and taken them to a 12-win regular season. I mean, that was impressive. Now, I would have voted for Lamar. I just think he was the best player this season, and I think that should matter. I hate this argument of, well, Josh Allen's teammates were worse. Well, who cares? Like, who's the best player? It's Lamar Jackson's. I don't have a huge problem with Josh Allen, and he'd be a fine MVP vote. I just don't like the discourse of, well, who had worse teammates? Because that immediately eliminates Lamar Jackson from the conversation. But I would have voted for Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't have any problem with Josh Allen as a vote, obviously. Wouldn't have any problem with Saquon Barkley as an option. I think he had an MVP season, too. And if you wanted to talk me into Jaden Daniels, I could listen. I don't think ultimately I'd come on your side when it comes to that. But I think that he had the type of season where he can say, hey, if we're just judging it on who elevated their franchise the most, Jaden Daniels is in that conversation.
So, Frank, you mentioned earlier kind of that big group of four quarterbacks, right? Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes. I feel like if their coaches, offensive coordinators, whomever, retired or went somewhere else, and tomorrow, you could put them in a different system, they'd be just fine. Is Daniels going to get to the point in your mind where he's system proof? In other words, if you lose Kingsbury and everybody that speaks that language about what the slot receiver's called and what jet action is called, and you got to learn a new language, when does he get to the point for you, if he does, that he's system proof?
I believe he is, really. I mean, I think that just assuming, some level of competence at coaching, you stick with the worst offensive coordinator in the league and have him succeed. But I do think just his skill set is so vast that he's mostly going to be one of these guys who there's only a handful of them on the planet who, it doesn't matter who their teammates are, doesn't matter who the coach is, doesn't matter what the scheme is, he's just going to elevate everybody. I think he's going to be there. I think he's going to be that guy. And also part of this, too, is from all accounts, the work ethic he has. Like, Cliff leaves tomorrow. Let's say that the Jaguars hire him. And I think whoever comes in as the offensive coordinator in the new scheme, new system, all that, it just seems like everything you hear and read about Jaden Daniels is he's going to put in the work to be full speed by the time training camp starts. He's impressive that way. My colleague Jory Epstein went down there and did a long feature in the summer on Jaden Daniels and just how much of a gym rat he is, to use a basketball term. And that guy, I mean, I was already high on the Commanders in the offseason, liked them a lot, thought they could be a playoff team. I do have those receipts. But I heard that about Jaden, and it just brought me to another level where I'm like, there's something special here, and I think the Commanders know what they have here.
Frank Schwab of Yahoo on G&D. Give us your predictions for this weekend. Commanders, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, who do you see playing in the Super Bowl?
I think the Eagles are going to win, but I think Jaden Daniels is going to put the fear of God into them along the way. Like, he's just that guy who, I don't like betting against guys like Jaden Daniels because it's just not a fun 3 hours like betting against Mahomes or anybody like that. He's that dude. He's already that dude, and it wouldn't stun me if the Commanders won that game. I mean, everybody there knows. They were leading in the fourth quarter at Philly that Thursday night game, and everybody knows what happened the second game when he threw the 5 touchdowns and they beat him. So it's not out of the realm of possibility they could win that game. But I do think the Eagles win a close game. They're just more ready. They're the better roster right now. Commanders will get there in a year or two. Give Adam Peters a couple more off seasons, and they're really going to be there. But right now, the Eagles are just so far superior talent-wise that it's going to be tough for Jaden to overcome that. And then on the AFC side, you know what? I'm sick of picking against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I went 0-4 doing it last year. I'm just not doing it this year. I think the Bills are a better team. I think the Buffalo Bills are a better team than the Kansas City Chiefs, and it just doesn't matter. Like the Chiefs get in these situations, and they're just so comfortable, and they know how to win games. And Patrick Mahomes is a legend already, and so is Andy Reid. That I'm not picking against the Chiefs. I'm just going to take the Chiefs, and then we'll have a Chiefs Eagles Super Bowl maybe.
Yay again, Frank! Thank you, buddy.
See you, no man. Doubt.
Good catching up. There's Frank Schwab of Yahoo. Go read his story. It was great.
It's a good piece.
Really, really well done. Talking about just how good Jaden Daniels is already. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan again. You'll hear our interview with Joe Gibbs coming up at 6 o'clock if you missed it. The first time, you should absolutely listen for that. Next, does last month's win over the Eagles make you feel any better about this matchup? Is it relevant? We'll get to that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Commanders Eagles Sunday NFC Championship football. We'll have the game pre and post coverage all day long right here on the Fan live play by play, the Westwood One broadcast. Cannot wait to get to the link. I know many of you guys are going as well. Hey, real quick, before we discuss the NFC Championship game, did you see the prices at Camden Yards? They've reduced some of their top foods.
I've seen a couple people posting about this. This is what you do, people. Let's all take note.
This is the Birdland Value Menu.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Is this thing on?
Hello.
Nationals.
Yeah, hello. Hi, this is the Nats. Hi.
Hey, it's Grant Paulson down the street.
Grant, hey, how's it going?
Did you guys see the Birdland Value Menu?
No, we didn't see it. What are they doing?
See that $4 refillable soda cup, that souvenir soda?
Did you say $14?
No, I said $4. It was $13 at your ballpark last year.
Oh.
It's $4 at Camden.
Oh.
I'm going to need you to do that for Daddy.
Well, that's... I get another call. Hold on.
Hello, is this the Nationals?
Yeah.
It's Grant. I'm using Danny's phone.
Oh, no. Grant, you're still here.
$4 for an all-beef hot dog.
Yep.
Doesn't sound like a great deal. I'm here to tell you, that's a great deal.
It's better than, what is it, like $8.50?
$4 for pretzel bites with cheese.
Uh-huh.
I would never eat the cheese that's liquid that comes with that.
Sure.
But I would eat the hell out of them pretzel bites.
Mm-hmm.
$4 for cream cheese. No, that's not true. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Cinnamon pretzel bites with cream cheese icing. These are pretzel bites with icing. We're going to do that. That one we're going to do.
You'll sign up for that one?
That one sounds
It's so cheap, good. You can take one bite and throw it away.
Sounds like Auntie Anne's. $4 for that. Nacho chips and cheese, $4. Popcorn. How much you spending for popcorn? You actually, let's do it like this way.
I did this.
You bought popcorn at the Superdome. I watched you eat.
I'm so nervous.
Tub of popcorn. How much did it cost
you? $18 because it was the novelty size.
It's a gigantic bucket.
Yeah.
It costs so much money. Not anymore. Not at Birdland.
Not up in here.
Popcorn, $3.50. Peanuts, $2.50.
Reward your fans. Be nice to them.
Package dessert, $3. This is what I'm talking about. I got to take my kids to a baseball game. You got to hook me. Now, I always give the Nats credit. I have for a long time. They do an amazing thing called...
The Kids Eat Free.
Kids Eat Free, where you can get bagged lunches for children. My kids, every time we go to a game, do that. It's a hot dog, chips, and a water. Kids Eat Free. Awesome. This is Grant eats cheaper. That's what I want at Nats Park.
Well, even beyond that, if anybody's got kids, knows that you either spend all day at all times negotiating or like inducing tears with this is what you have to eat. Or when you go to a ballpark, you just give in. We go to Dippin' Dots four different times. We go, which I can't stand anymore, by the way. I now like actually actively hate Dippin' Dots because of the amount of times I've gone into that line about the same $7.49 stupid multicolored thing that turns into liquid after 4 seconds.
Tastes metallic.
It could go to hell.
Ice cream of the never future.
Yeah, ice cream of the no time ever on any timeline. So you could do Kids Eat Free, and that's smart. I mean, I'm not begrudging the Nats for doing that. It's awesome. I'm glad they do that.
Sensational.
I'm not ripping that. I'm just simply saying everyone with kids understands, oh, it's not all solved. You're going to get the catcher's helmet full of ice cream or whatever else.
But I'm not asking them to solve anything, or everything, rather. It's nice if you solve something, which they've done. But my point on this, Danny, is if you want to not bring in any players this offseason of note, if you want to not go get a star, if you want to not really give me a reason to come to the ballpark with opening your checkbook and free agency, because they have effectively just replaced the $35 million of Patrick Corbin with spending this offseason. If you add up all their arbitration money that they've dumped into players for raises and the guys that they brought in, they have not added to the payroll. It's just Patrick Corbin's contract off the books, and then they've replaced that with a lot of what they've done. So if you want to play that game, I wasn't born yesterday. I know that there's no more added commitment here financially. Give me something to let me know, hey, man, I know it sucks right now. I know that this was the offseason that I was supposed to spend. I know that the Caps are the best team in hockey and the Commanders are going to the conference championship game. Things are looking up around these parts. But I'm not going to get on board and start spending or trying to, you know, go win 90 baseball games. But at least I'm going to give you a $3 hot dog. At least your popcorn's only going to cost you $2.50. Do something for me, please. At any point ever.
Very well said. Yeah, I mean, if you give me a choice, I would take, like, better Major League Baseball players.
Well, that would be my first priority.
Like, that would be my first. But if I can't get that, which I can't, then I'd like a more affordable hot dog.
There's a ship out there. What happened?
It's gone. Bon voyage. Fare thee well. Don't forget to ride.
Looked like it sailed, huh?
Yeah, it's gone.
That one, that whole better players thing, there was a few months where that could have happened.
It was some sort of, like, marketplace where guys were getting...
If only there was a part of the baseball calendar where you were allowed to go out and upgrade your ball club with substantial moves.
It's ongoing. It's ongoing, I've heard.
And I always like to say, I think the baseball people did a pretty good job with the no money that they spent. Right? They did about as well as you could do when it sounds like you're told, hey, we got $35 million off the books from Corbin. That's what you're allowed to spend. They did a decent job spending $35 million.
Gentlemen, gather around. Build me a rocket ship. Here's bubblegum and toothpicks. See you in spring training.
Not at Mars, though, because that spaceship ain't getting you to Mars. All right, back to the NFC Championship game we go.
Yeah.
Does last month's win over the Eagles give you more confidence that Washington can beat Philadelphia? They beat the Eagles in Landover in what was a, I would say, as entertaining a game as they played all year, but it's got to be acknowledged that if Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt, Philly probably wins the football game. And Kenny Pickett was okay. He made one terrible decision through the really bad interception. But that was a game, 36-33 shootout. Jaden Daniels ended up throwing for 258 and 5 through the air. If they'd lost both games to the Eagles, that game was 21-7 early before Hurts got hurt. You know, maybe that ends up being like a 35-23 Eagles win or something. I think people probably feel differently about this weekend, even though I don't think they should. To me, I don't care at all about that game in week 16. It's got nothing to do with how I feel. This team's on a heater. The momentum's real. Everything seems to be going their way. And Jalen Hurts is not 100% healthy. He looks compromised. He looked banged up when we last saw him. It's Saquon Barkley and kind of pray for rain on offense. And you got to find a way to stop Jalen Carter. But I like their chances a lot just based on how they're playing. It has nothing to do with the fact that they beat the Eagles this past month.
So it's interesting because I've heard so many people, right, whether it's asking the question, whether it's referencing this is the data point that everybody kind of keeps pointing to. It sounds like you're not, which I actually tend to agree with, and I'll get to why in a second. But I've heard we just beat them a month ago. And the thing that, if you've listened to the show at all, first, we appreciate it. Second of all, you kind of know Grant and I are process guys. Now, you want to win every game and you want to win. I understand all that. But my point is, if I give you several key data points from that game, including the fumbles, the turnovers, the penalties, especially early, the drop passes, the pressure on Jaden Daniels, I'd go, that's a loss. Now, they won it, and it was miraculous, and it was incredible, but it wasn't because they found a weakness in Philly's defense with Brian Robinson. It wasn't because they were able to take advantage of this, that, and the other. It was, frankly, Daniels had 81 yards scrambling and put the team on his back, like the old school YouTube video, put the team on his back, though. That's what he did, basically. That's what happened, and it was amazing, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, but to me, there's nothing sustainable. There's no lesson learned from that game, if that makes sense. That was as crazy a one-off fun, unbelievable thing, similar to me, the same way you go, what I want to do strategically is be down with about 9 seconds left, 60 yards away from the end zone. That puts us in a perfect position for Jaden to throw a Hail Mary and win.
Yeah,
that's not sustainable.
They were down 27-14 in that game going into the fourth quarter. Would you sign up for that right now?
No.
Of course you wouldn't. Like, nothing about that game is all that replicable, but I don't know that you'd want it to be. They scored 3 fourth-quarter touchdowns. 61-yard drive on a 4-yard pass to Zacchaeus. 87-yard drive on a 49-yard catch and run by Zacchaeus. That was when the Eagles had 12 on the field.
Yep.
Had to rush a guy off. It happened to be the guy that was defending him, and then nobody picked him up. And then they had the game-winning drive of 57 yards in the last 152, the 9-yard pass to Crowder. But that was like a mad dash, wild finish to a game where they kind of were outplayed for 3 quarters pretty handily.
I mean, again, you look at the first half. The penalties, this first set of drives. There's a touchdown mixed in here, but it's downs, fumble, punt, fumble. That's how they started the game. There's nothing sustained. Like, I do that again and see if you get away with it in the conference championship
game. I actually think that the first game, which they lost, I feel like makes me feel better about the matchup than the second, weirdly.
Strangely, I think I actually know exactly what you mean.
So here's what I mean.
Because they didn't play great, and they were right there.
Hurts got hurt when it was 21-7. That's number one. They were up 14 points when they had their starting quarterback, and they were whooping Washington pretty good in that game. In the first matchup, the Commanders actually did a really good job against Hurts early, and just generally speaking offensively, the Eagles for 3 quarters. They led going into the fourth quarter in that game. After 3 quarters in Philly, Washington had a lead. After 3 quarters at home, they were down by 13. That's kind of argument number two. Now, the fourth quarter got away from him. Saquon Barkley eventually broke open, and the dam, the levees broke, the dam opened up, and here comes Barkley to the left, Barkley to the right, he got going. But I think that game and the way it played out makes me feel better because Daniels was borderline awful by his own standards, like not to say it was this tumultuous performance, but that was as bad as we've seen him.
Oh, yeah.
And you were right there with a chance to win, ready to go up in the fourth quarter if you kick a field goal instead of going for a fourth down. That game makes me feel better than the other one where the Kenny Pickett-led Eagles couldn't make enough plays in the second half. And Washington went on a bunch of drives in, I won't call it garbage time, but in a phase of the game where the Eagles had kind of let their guard down clearly, were playing a little preventative, and then you started moving the football and scored 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
And they couldn't get the momentum back. I think that's the story. But to your point, That first game, short rest, Sunday to a Thursday, on the road, nothing easy about that. Going into a really tough place to play against a great team that, you know, was sort of the sleeping giant and ready to explode, and then it finally happened there in the fourth quarter. You couldn't hold back anymore. So that actually gives me a little bit more confidence maybe than the most recent one. To me, this is nothing about that was repeatable. Nothing about how that game went, where you turn it over 5 times, and as you said, you know, the one throw over the middle of Luke McCaffrey that Daniels just sailed. Like, he doesn't do that. He did that game, you know, Dami Brown with the fumble and, you know, the other interception, I think that Daniels kind of forced in there. He missed I think it might've been Ben Sinnott. If he just, you know, on a goal line play, just thrown it to him right away, it would have been a touchdown. It didn't happen. Just these things weren't working well until he then turned into Superman in the second half. And he's Superman right now. I get that. But to me, that game doesn't have as much bearing as it sounds like a lot of fans think it does.
Yeah. What about you guys? We'll get to the calls on this next. 800-636-1067. How relevant do you think the win was in week 16? How much does that play into how you feel about the game on Sunday? 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny. The Commanders beat the Eagles in Week 16. The question we're asking you is, does that make you feel better about the game this weekend? I happen to feel great about the game this weekend anyway. I think they got a really good chance to win on the road in the NFC title game. But it's got nothing to do with Week 16, which I think was kind of a fluky win, frankly, coming from behind, scrambling when they were down 27-14 to start the fourth quarter. I will say that almost beating the Eagles in their place when Daniels played poorly earlier in the year actually does make me feel a little bit better, oddly.
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking there. I thought I was going to stand alone here because I see this all the time, like it's been going on for a long time. But I see this a lot among Washington fans, and I've heard it, and people are kind of referencing this game more than a month ago as kind of their data point as to why they're not concerned at all about this game. To me, it's I don't want to say it's irrelevant because it's important to notice certain trends and different things, but I just don't see it as anywhere near as relevant as the way Washington's playing right now this second.
Well, that's also just not how football works, if we're being honest. Like, even if you played a team last week, it might not be that relevant. Mm. Not to mention the injuries that have happened since, the players that have come back and gotten healthy for both teams. But in football, every game is its own TV show, basically. Like, they don't lean on each other. It's one of those types of shows where you don't have to watch episode one to be able to enjoy episode two. And because something happened a month ago is not really going to dictate terms this time around. But to the phones we go. Jay's in D.C. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Grant, this your buddy, man. I was on the flight with you in Tampa, man. I was looking for you up in Detroit, man. I flew up and I didn't see you, man. But
Poor guy was flu gaming at home.
I had a flight, I had a hotel, and I had a flu, so I didn't make it.
Hey, look, and just to piggyback on y'all food prices, I was in Detroit. They had a special where you got a dog, chips, and a drink, and it was like $12. I was elated. I was shocked, man.
No way. That's awesome. Teams should do this.
I'm telling you.
They should be doing this kind of thing. I want to take my kids to the game. I can't be spending $175 for the two of us to eat and drink.
Exactly. So, look, the question is, does it make you feel better? So the answer to that is yes. It does make me feel better going into this game. Not that it has any ramifications on this game or it will determine, you know, it determines how we play. But I think that because we were able to move the ball against their starting defense minus one or two players, you know, Jaden Daniels, what he did in that game against those circumstances, how much we were down, he really played really well against their starting defense, and nobody had threw for like two touchdowns on them. He really went out and did and showed that he could compete against them, and we always played them tight. So I think it really makes me feel good heading into this game. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy. Let's go to Bill and Lorton on Grant and Danny. Bill, the question is, does the win in Week 16 make you feel better about this game, or is that irrelevant?
Hey, Grant and Danny. Yeah, makes me feel better about this game because we had five turnovers we overcame, and he threw five touchdowns. Wow. And then, look, Grant, Jaden was a little bit shook up, still coming off a little injury in the first game, and he didn't do that bad, but we already beat the number one seed. We're hot. We got to take down the number two seed.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, Bill. If they get there, man, will it be earned. You went to Tampa Bay, who was the three seed. Then you will have beaten the one seed Detroit, and then you will have beaten the two seed Philly. So you will have won on the road at the one, the two, and the three on your way to the Super Bowl.
And now I know Tampa didn't have as good a record as, say, Minnesota or whatever, but you're looking at the three teams playing the best in the NFC heading into the postseason. I would arguably include Tampa in there, either them or L.A.
Yeah, I think because of the way the Vikings got dismantled by the Lions in the last week, you could say that. Although, take that one game out, Minnesota.
Sure, body of work, it's Minnesota.
Now, I would have picked the Vikings to beat the Bucks, so I'm still going to say it was probably like three of the best four teams in the conference. But the point stands.
Mm-hmm.
You went at the number three, at the number one, and at the number two over a three-week span, and you kept winning, and now you're in the Super Bowl. Chris in Hyattsville, what's going on?
Hey, Chris.
What's up? I do think the last game is relevant because something clicked for Jaden in the second half. And I feel like that was one of the first games where he really realized it was okay. He had permission to take the game over. And he carried that over into Atlanta in that game, which, you know, clinched the playoff spot. The Cowboys game to me is a outlier. He played with the same identity, if you will, or, you know, approach in both playoff games. I feel like that was sort of like the bellwether moment for him, was that second half of the Philadelphia game. I think that's really where he came into his own, and I put a lot of stock into it.
Appreciate you, buddy. I will also say this, to kind of piggyback Chris a little bit there. When Jaden Daniels was not healthy, they're 0-1 against the Eagles. When Jaden Daniels was healthy, they're 1-0 against Philly. They could tell themselves that in their building, not be wrong. You know, when we got our guy feeling
when he was
good,
all the way right,
we beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And scored 40 doing it. 36 points and a 5-touchdown performance by him.
There's something to that, just kind of looking at the game log as well. I know the Dallas games were not withstanding. I still haven't figured out how to categorize the Dallas game, by the way.
Well,
I don't know who
just,
was.
Here's how you categorize it. The NFL. Yeah. Football, man.
Well, I suppose, mean, but I don't know what they cared about or what they didn't. He's the only guy that's sad. I don't know if it's because whatever. I'm not concerned about it.
You're talking about Week 18?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the loss to Dallas.
No, I mean the one where they where he was in the first half and he's the only person that sat to rest or was not rest.
He did not play well. Their offense didn't play well. I think it was just, you know what? It's really, really hard to pretend.
Yeah.
You already were in. You need to win, but we can play with our food a little bit in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it almost beat them, but it didn't.
Yeah. So taking that one out, because I still don't know what to do with it, there's something to what Chris is saying. I mean, you had that Atlanta game in overtime, the Tampa playoff game, the Detroit game, where he's been, I mean, it was already good, but it turned sensational. It turned up a notch. It escalated quickly, if you're sort of looking at it, since that second half.
800-636-1067 is the number. Jot it down. It'll be the number all day tomorrow on this station as well, if you want to talk about the NFC Championship game. Next, you're going to hear our interview with Joe Gibbs, the Hall of Fame head coach who brought 3 Lombardi trophies to the nation's capital. He told us he will be on site at the Link in Philly for the NFC Championship game. You're also going to hear from starting quarterback Jaden Daniels, who met with the media today. That's all next right here on The Fan.